Let us bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as you know, there is a huge event happening on this day. It's Super Bowl Sunday. The eyes of the nation will be glued to their TV screens. Even those who don't even like football will be watching the Super Bowl because of the commercials or the halftime show. Super Bowl Sunday is a grand and glorious event in our nation with all the lights, the action, and the music. But do you remember what happened just a few years ago at Super Bowl 47? Right after halftime, just like that, the lights went out. For over 30 minutes, people sat in darkness and they were wondering what's going to happen to this grand, glorious event of the Super Bowl. But then just like that, the lights came back on and everything was fine. But today we celebrate something far more superior than the Super Bowl. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. Could you just imagine if you were Peter, James, or John at this glorious event? At 1 second, you see Jesus praying before you, and then just like that, he's transfigured before you. He is revealed in all of his glory. He is shining brighter than lightning. You see Moses and Elijah standing before you. You hear a voice from heaven declare, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." But then just like that, his glory disappeared. And within a few months, Jesus would suffer and die. And it must have seemed like Christ never had this glory. And maybe even today, we may think that the glory of Christ has disappeared. But I assure you that the glory of Christ has not faded in the least. For not only did Jesus shine in all of his glory at his transfiguration, he is also still shining right now in his gospel. And since Christ is shining in his gospel, Paul encourages us to let Christ shine out of darkness. Do not veil the gospel and preach it with a servant-like heart. The ministry of Paul must have seemed like it was fading away at the church in Corinth. When Paul first came to Corinth, which is a city in Greece, he was very successful. There were many people who were receptive to his message. He stayed in Corinth for a year and a half preaching to these people. He deeply cared for them. He deeply loved them. But after Paul left Corinth to go spread the gospel in other places, false teachers came to this church. They claimed that they were far superior than the Apostle Paul. They claimed that they could speak better than Paul and that they were wiser than Paul. And since these men could speak eloquent speeches and since they were wiser, the people of Corinth began to listen to their message. But their message was a message of work righteousness, which is the message of the devil. This is one of the reasons why Paul wrote his second letter to the Corinthians. He was defending himself and warning them about this false message that they were beginning to believe. To prove his point, the very verse that precedes our reading this morning, Paul said, "We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, we set forth the truth plainly." Paul compares himself with these false teachers. These false teachers have changed God's word, and they were deceiving the people by their eloquent speeches. But Paul did not do any of that. He didn't change God's word. He didn't veil the gospel. He didn't talk about what a great speaker he was or how wise he was. Instead, he simply let Christ shine out of darkness. He set forth the truth of God's word plainly to them. Now, does this mean that it's wrong to preach God's word eloquently or to have wisdom about facts that support the Bible? Absolutely not. But do not think how well you can speak God's word or how wise you are about the Bible adds anything to the gospel. The gospel is powerful and effective all by itself. You simply just let Christ shine out of darkness. And maybe you have done that all your life. You show people the Bible and you tell them, this is what God says. But even when you do that, there will be people who will not listen to you. And when that happens, we can look up to heaven and say, God, why isn't this working? What am I doing wrong? Well, notice what Paul said. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Paul admits that there are times when the gospel is veiled. There are times when the people will not see the light of the gospel. But the gospel is only veiled to those who are perishing. To believers, we can see the light of the gospel. But to those who are perishing, they only view Christ and his forgiveness as being completely and utterly foolish. They find the message of Christ to be foolish, because they think it is foolish that Jesus could save the whole world by dying. They find the message of Christ's forgiveness to be foolish, because they find it foolish to believe that eternal life is a free gift, that we don't have to do anything but believe. They find this foolish because they cannot test it, they cannot examine it, and therefore they can't prove it. And by nature, we were all like this. By nature, we are all spiritually blind to the light of the gospel. It is only by the Holy Spirit through the gospel that God has created faith in our hearts. But there is another reason why those who are perishing reject the message of the gospel. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Not only is the gospel veiled to those who are perishing, but the devil, the god of this age, tightly holds on to that veil, so that those who are perishing cannot see the light of the gospel. You saw that happened in Jesus' day. People saw Jesus perform miracles. They knew that he had the power of God, and yet they still didn't believe. You see Satan doing the same thing in our day. Maybe you have heard people say to you, since the Bible has been written by so many people throughout time, it has been corrupted. It has changed, and therefore it's no longer reliable. And yet we have undeniable proof that God's word has not changed over time. It has not been corrupted. It is reliable. Or maybe you have people argued with you that some of the historical facts in the Bible cannot be true. There is no way that these people existed at this time or that these events could have happened. And yet many times archaeology has supported the historical events in the Bible. We have all this proof to support the Bible. We can present that proof to unbelievers, and yet they still won't listen to us. Why is that? It's because Satan has blinded unbelievers and made them ignorant in their unbelief. And that is why it is so important for us not to veil the gospel. Just as it would be foolish to veil a light that's guiding you in the dark, how much more foolish would it be to veil the light of the gospel to those who are perishing? For it is only the gospel that God can create faith in a person's heart. Therefore, don't veil the gospel. Let Christ shine out of darkness and let God do the rest. If people will still reject the gospel, that is their fault. But if God brings someone to faith through the gospel, he deserves all the praise and glory. And that's the next thing that I want us to focus on. When we preach the gospel, we are to preach it with a servant-like heart. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul tells us that we are not to preach ourselves to others. Now, does this mean that it's wrong and sinful to share a personal testimony about your faith? No, it's not. In fact, as Christians, it's almost impossible for us not to mention how much God means to us and how he has changed our lives. But when we give a personal testimony about our faith, we are to put the glory and emphasis on God and not on ourselves. We are only to view ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake, servants who are willing to obey and serve him so that he gets all the glory. But that can be incredibly hard for us to do, can't it? It is so easy for us to become big-headed and to puff ourselves up. Satan can easily tempt us to think that God's word is no longer enough. After all, people have heard the stories of the Bible. They know about Jesus and what he has done, and yet they don't believe. But if people knew about my faith and what I have been through, then the gospel will have more power. It will have more meaning to others. And so we can fall into that temptation that we don't preach with a servant-like heart. We only preach about ourselves. And then that person can say to us, I wish I had a faith like yours. Or I wish I could believe like you. And look at what can happen because of that. Just like that, we can become conceited and think about the greatness of our faith. And all the while, the person who said, I wish I had a faith like yours, or I wish I could believe like you do, can be left in total despair. Because now they're not focused on Christ who can make their faith grow, but instead they are only focused on how great our faith is. Even when we are evangelizing, Satan can tempt us to sin that we only preach ourselves and we do not preach with a servant-like heart. And therefore, God should remove Christ from our lives and leave us veiled to the gospel like those who are perishing. But notice what God has done for us. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Just as God used his word to create light on the first day of creation, he also used his word to create the light of faith in our hearts. And since God has brought us to faith, Christ now shines in us. And did you notice how Paul described Jesus earlier in our reading? He called Christ the image of God. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them in his own image. They were perfect and holy. But after Adam and Eve fell into sin, that image of God was completely shattered and destroyed. That image no longer lived in them. And since we are descendants of Adam and Eve, we are all born with the sinful nature. This is why there are times when we do not preach with a servant-like heart and we only preach ourselves. But Christ, who is the image of God, came to restore that image in us. He came with a servant-like heart. You saw that in the gospel this morning. Just think about how easily Jesus could have stayed on that mountain, transfigured in all of his glory. But he put that glory aside. He came down from that mountain so that he could be the servant of the Lord who would suffer and die for our sins. It is because of Christ that the whole world, you and I, have been justified. And purely out of grace, God brought us to faith in Christ. And so now Christ shines in us. Which means when God looks at us, he does not see the ugliness of our sin, but instead he only sees Christ, who is the image of God, who is perfect and holy, shining in us. And here's the thing about the glory of Christ. It doesn't fade. Unlike Moses, when he received the law from God and his face would be shining with glory, that glory would begin to fade. And that's why Moses would wear a veil over his face so that the people would not see this glory fading away. But the glory of the gospel of Christ never fades, because it is in the gospel that Christ is shining out of darkness. It is in the gospel and through the gospel that Christ shines in us and through us. It is the gospel that gives us a servant-like heart, not to preach ourselves, but to preach Christ and him crucified. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let Christ shine out of darkness. Do not veil the gospel to those who are perishing, because they need to see the light of the gospel. And if you ever feel tempted to preach about yourself, simply proclaim that we are all sinners who deserve God's condemnation, but Christ, who is the image of God, came to save us. By doing that, you will be preaching Christ to others. You will be preaching with a servant-like heart, and you will be letting Christ shine out of darkness. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated for the offering, and during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.